Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy joining you live right here on the 25th day of January around the world on Clear Channel WWCR, transmitting Jewel of the South. We're glad to have you in here. Part two tonight in our Bible study. We're going to get right into it, so call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is online. You don't want to miss tonight. You will learn something. You will look inside. We're going to go to some scriptures to help you determine the Father and His appearance, what He looks like, what He sounds like, what He says. Now, this is long before the Son was manifested. We're going to give you a discourse, if you will, later on the Son. We're talking about the Godhead. And we use many scriptures to indicate that there is a mystery about the Godhead. Now, in this section of our outline of Yahweh the Father's attributes, we've cited several passages expressly stating that He is invisible. He's veiled from mortal sight, whom no man has ever seen or can see, as 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says. But amazingly and mysteriously, if you look into this, a number of times in the Old Testament, we read of men and women seeing God. For example, after Jacob had wrestled with a man until daybreak, he called the place that he had wrestled with this angel, Peniel, that is the face of God in Hebrew, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." That's in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. Again, after the covenant between God and man, or God in Israel, man, and that means, the word Israel means a prince with Yahweh, had been confirmed. In other words, only after the covenant. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 24, and I'll start at verse 9. "And then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up into the mountain. And there they saw the God of Israel. And there they saw the God of Israel." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Father. They literally, actually, according to the Scripture now, they saw the God of Israel. "And there was under His feet a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness." In other words, this great king, royal king, was sitting upon a throne, upon a pavement of sapphire stone that looked like heaven. Here is the 70 elders, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. They went up. That is 73 men that saw Yahweh. Now listen to this. This is astounding. I just love this passage to help you understand that God, our Father, thought it not robbery to be equal or co-equal with Him. You see, after all, ladies and gentlemen, a father has to claim children. Before he can have the title of a father, he must have children. Well, his children have left heaven That was where he was at. And they were separated through flesh, Adam, and the sons and the offspring, literally separate themselves from the Godhead, or the Father, and he come to interact with them. Well, you know, we get into the New Testament, it said, no man has seen God at any time. Well, that's exactly. Yet, we stop there when that statement is inconclusive. Now, to put it in proper perspective, let's continue on and conclude the meaning of that scripture. No man has seen God at any time. This is the Messiah, the Son talking. Except he who is of God, he has seen God. And so then, there is people that is of the Father, children, offspring. Oh my, I love that. I love offspring. Offspring of the Father. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his... You see, ladies and gentlemen, we take God in such a fearful insight. We've been taught that, you know, if you ask people, do you believe in God the Father? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Who is he? Well, no, but I believe in him. Well, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians, listen to this now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6, for there are many gods and there are many lords. Many lords and many gods. Well then, when we say, well, I believe in God the Father, well, Satan is a god, and Satan is a father. He's got children in here. So we have to be more descriptive in identifying. We must, in other words, we've got to really see the Father and know him. And the Jews who had never seen the Father, never heard his voice at any time. And yet there was a voice out of the cloud. Some said it thundered, and some said this, and some said that. When he said in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, now remember this, here's the setting. Here is the Son, the offspring, the literal presence of God manifested in flesh. Here's the same God that Moses and the 70 elders and his other two brothers, which had seen God. And here's the astounding conclusion of Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 11. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people. In other words, he didn't kill them. You see, he told Moses, nobody can see my face and live. Well, here, they did see him, the chief men of the people of Israel, and they beheld God and ate and drank with him. Oh, my! They had lunch on the mountaintop. Here's a personal father. Here's somebody that is concerned and wants to be known among his children. If I'm a father, he said, where's my glory? Well, the only way you can glorify your father is become acquainted with him. Yeah, it's true. We're strangers and pilgrims, and we're supposed to be strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but we're strangers and pilgrims and separated and alienated. We are never taught that we can know the Father and we can see him if we want to. You shall know the truth. Let me give you some further similar statements, which include Manoah said to his wife in Judges chapter 13, verse 22, we shall surely die. See there? Man is so fearful, that's Adam's instinct, that hid himself from the presence of the Father who was walking in the garden before the fall of man. He was well acquainted with the Father, but after sin, and after a guilt complex, and after some religion, false religion, doctrine indoctrination of Lucifer, Satan, men begin to hide from the Father. Well, the Father became lonely. Here he is trying to renew the acquaintance here in Exodus chapter 24 when they went up on the mountain, the 73 elders. And 7 and 3 is 10, which is perfection, which reduces to 1. That was one family, Yahweh and his chosen children, Moses, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the other chosen princes of Israel went up to have dinner with the Father. Oh my! And they saw him, and he didn't kill them. Matter of fact, he entertained them with hospitality. And that's what a father's all about. Why should we be so afraid, alienated or isolated or guilt-complexed that we don't know who the Father is? Everybody talks about the Father, but nobody wants to identify or nobody wants to see Him. Now, we don't have any problem with the Son showing Himself because that's a lesser being, we're told. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't no lesser being. That was God the Father manifest in the flesh. There He was. Here on the mountain, it was only to those 73 elders, His family. And yet He came 2,000 years ago, veiled in a flesh body, and the Bible described Him, this is the very persona, this is the very image, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Oh my, it's amazing how that we are instructed, if you will, with the divine oracle of the Holy Word, and yet we don't want no experience with the Father. We don't want to see Him. We're afraid we're going to die. Just like these elders were terrified, especially when they began to sin and rebel, they always said, please don't let us hear His voice anymore. Well, somebody heard His voice. And so then, the New Testament scriptures, where it said, you have never seen His shape or heard His voice at any time. Christ said that, the Son said that, in recognition of He only spoke to them that could hear Him and those who were qualified to be holy like Him. In other words, a family. God only speaks to His family. The Father only fellowships the family. He only sits down to break bread with it. Christ said, I have desired to eat this with you. And you know why? Because He ate and drank with the elders thousands of years prior to coming in a flesh body. There He was in His express image of glory, and His very person was so majestic. His majesty was shining forth, and His glory. No wonder Moses had to wear a veil, because he sat in the presence of the Father for 40 days and 40 nights. And the express image of the glory of the Father shone so brightly and so majestically upon Moses that they had to put a veil on his face, for men were literally scared to death to see the face of Moses. To me, that is awesome. Are you prepared? Everybody says, well, I want to go to heaven. You're going to go there and you're going to eat and drink with the Father, just like the 70 elders in Exodus chapter 24. It's a family thing, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be afraid. It's not robbery to be equal with the Father. What father would feel like a father if His sons came before Him and they were scared to death and they literally ran behind the trees and the rocks and things of this nature when the Father appeared? That's why He became a man. he had a problem of visiting, if you will, his people. He had a problem of, if you will, of communicating, because when he stepped on the earth, the rocks rent, the earth shook and quivered under the holiness of the Father. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, you came from His being. You are a holy people, according to the Bible. Now, we have been dumbed down by a system of religious misunderstanding that our Father loves everybody on earth, that our Father can save anybody on earth. And that's not true. He come only to seek and to save those which He called His own, those who had been with Him from the very beginning, those who had their names written on the Lamb's book. Oh man, I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel this awesome presence of the Father with me tonight as I minister to you about the divine holiness of our Father, and I want you to identify, I want you to know Him, I want you to draw near unto Him, for He shall likewise draw near unto you, and He will reveal Himself. Remember where it said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25, the first scripture that I used in the first hour of the teaching about no man knows who the Father is. No man. Except the Son. The Son is the introductory or the mediator to introduce you to the Father. And when you find out that the Father is the Son, and the Father and the Son are one, not just in the Godhead mysteries, but in substance, they are the, it was God, the eternal Spirit, without a body, that was expressing Himself to these men long before He became the Son. He was showing them His divine glory to be revealed in His majesty, that God literally became a man and did walk upon the earth. Now, He hungered like a man. He cried. He was emotional. He felt pain when they drove the nails or the thorns that I expressed. God hurt. God cried. And yet, God is above all of that. He's bigger than pain. He's just more than we can almost comprehend. And as Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of this godliness. As I struggle to come up with words of expression to help you understand, but I do know that the sheep who hear the voice of the Father understand, and they know where Pastor Buddy's coming from, as it says in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw Yahweh sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and I said, woe is me! Now here is such, like Jeremiah said, when he was in the presence of the Father, he said, oh, my bones shook. There's something about the majestic presence of the Spirit. I've had the Spirit where I had stammering lips, where that I was filled with the Holy Ghost in an instant. I was so hungry back in the days that I fasted literally till I couldn't walk. I wanted, I would not give up the pursuit of coming before my Father. And I knew He was holy, and I knew I had to be holy. And the only way I knew was to fast and pray to be counted worthy to come into His presence. And I was given a vision the night I turned my life over to Him.
Literally, it was taken out of my hands. I didn't actually turn my life over to him. I was pleading my case. I was begging for mercy. I was laying on the floor sobbing when I saw this marvelous scripture of Isaiah 44 and or 46 and verse 6 and 7. When I saw these scriptures about the oneness and Revelations 1:17 that I read in part 1, we will see about that in part 3 when we get into the sonship. When I knew that the Father had been in the Son, literally, I was amazed. I actually understood what my church had taught me as a trinity of separation and yet equal unity. I couldn't understand it, but boy, when I got in the Spirit, I literally had a vision. I was taken out of my body, just like Isaiah said, I saw Yahweh, the King, sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up. And I saw Yahweh sitting up on the throne. I was drawn to His presence. And it was a book handed me. And amazingly, ladies and gentlemen, I had such a thirst. I had read the Bible for 7 years, and to the point that people, my own family, my friends got worried about my sanity. And I've got more questioning my sanity now since I preach this revelation of mystery of who the Father is. And now understanding it, the vision gave me a clear understanding like it did Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My story exactly. I was taken in front of Yahweh, a Bible, a book. I didn't see it as a Bible because it didn't look like a Bible. But I do know that when the angel handed it to me, and he took his hand, and it was just like every page was turned in a millisecond. And yet I was able to read everything in that millisecond. I was able to read everything or understand, at least understand, everything on that page. And I was amazed. And yet when I came to myself that night, laying in the floor of my apartment, sobbing, I laid there for days, overwhelmed because I had been in the presence of the Father, that I was taken into His presence as a son. And just like it was in 1:17 when John was in the presence of this mighty Alpha Omega, the beginning and end. He laid His right hand upon John and said, "Fear not." Why is it such a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Father? It's because that we have become strangers and pilgrims, or alienated from our Father, separated through the power of satanic influence to teach us to forget the Father. And yet the Father said, though a mother forget her sucking son, yet will I not forget you, O Israel. And here He is keeping His promise to Isaiah. Now, nobody else in Israel saw the Father that year. Daniel had saw Him later. And other prophets have seen Him later, myself included. And ladies and gentlemen, it was just like the Bible described. His hair was white. I'm telling you, I just can't describe it. There's no words for it. And yet, the literal presence, He had on a purple robe. And His feet, literally, I mean, it's amazing of His power and His holiness. It's just like all your life, all your strength will drain from you automatically. And there has to be some type of acknowledgement by the Father. If not, you would literally shake on the bone. Like Jeremiah said, I shake on the bone. He came in the presence of the Father. And physically speaking, the physical body is not made or in tune or vibrates on the level of the spirit being or a spirit body. And when you come into the presence of the most holiest thing in the universe, no wonder your body shakes. And they have to adjust. I don't know how they do this. Daniel, when he saw this angel, he fell over on his face in a deep sleep. In other words, this deep sleep was actually an insulation to keep him from dying. Here, Manoah said, "Surely we shall die, for we have seen God," Judges 13:22. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what they saw? It was a mighty one who had came down to introduce these parents and told them that they were going to have a son, and his name was going to be Samson, and he was going to be great, and to keep him from defiling himself with women, which actually got him in trouble later on. He didn't keep all of his vows. But the angels was instructing them how to raise him up. Don't let him drink any wine or eat any grapes. Yeah, it was that important. Why? Because the chosen one should be vibrationally holy. And if you've ever been in the presence of the Eternal One, you know he's on a high vibration. I found that out. I literally was sore for days on end after my experience. And now, this was just a vision, if there isn't such a thing as a vision. I knew it wasn't a dream. And I knew I was begging for mercy, laying on the floor, after I saw this great marvel. A brother that drove all the way from Ohio and witnessed to me in my little apartment, just me and him. He laid his fingers on Isaiah 44:6 and Revelation 1:17. And when I saw these two, these same ones, the Father and the Son. See, I'm trying to get you to introduce you to the Father through the Son. That's the only way I can describe. The Son was the epitome, the express image of His person. And I'm trying to get you to see that the Father, Eternal Spirit, was in that body of flesh. And we did eat and drink with Him, just like the 73 elders in Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 11. What examples that the Bible has left us with to understand. Now, how are we going to reconcile these apparently quite contradictory statements? If God is invisible, and remember, God is a spirit, John 4:24. So we're not looking about, a spirit don't have flesh and bones, according to Luke chapter 24, verse 37. A spirit don't have flesh and bone. So if John 4:24, if God is a spirit and don't have flesh and bone, how then could He be the Son or in the Son? Well, it was simple. The Spirit overshadowed Mary. She was pregnant with the child growing in her womb, part man, and if you will, part God, or part Father, and part the Son, flesh. God literally became a man. Christ was the perfect express image of what the Eternal Spirit is. And I can comprehend this only after I got a revelation from heaven, after I prayed and fasted. I spent many, 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 many days in fasting. My soul was so hungry and so caught up. It was amazing how I got this understanding through a spiritual, and the Bible said no man has seen God at any time, but unless the Son reveals Him to you. So I had to have the mediator, the flesh man, the Son, who now projects an image of God, for God was in the eternal Spirit, the Father, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. If God is invisible to man, how could He be seen on such occasion? Which it's obvious, in the vast majority of cases, Yahweh means the Creator Himself. If we come to the Scriptures with the preconception that the term God always means the Creator, or the Father, or the Spirit of the Son, we're going to be in serious difficulties, and that's what I'm trying to express to you. But preconceptions are just what we must not bring, but rather a humble, submit yourself unto God, draw near unto Him. Inquiring minds need to ascertain what the Bible itself means by God. And for that matter, any other expression or description that it employs. And there are several of those metaphors or expressions that we could give you. Only after a careful examination of the use in its contextual setting will it provide a legitimate explanation of the term God, or God in you, consistent with the basic teaching of the Scripture. But it takes a spiritual revelation, or you'll never get there. As long as you're bound in the carnal mind, until you have a breakthrough, the term God is consistent with the basic teaching of Scripture. And I'm hoping to demonstrate to you, and will show you, when they were engaged on His work, God sometimes permitted other beings to speak as if they were God Himself. In other words, in this case, the angel of Yahweh. So this angel, remember the Bible said to be forgetful not to entertain angels? For some have entertained angels unaware. I entertained one night, one slept in my bed, in my home. And I didn't know it at the time. It was an angel, but I found out later that it was. Some have been visited or entertained angels unaware. Yahweh sometimes permits other beings or other things. The word angel is malach in Hebrew, and it means messenger. God messaged Himself through a person. Abraham literally washed this person's feet in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, when he looked across the plains of Mamre, and sitting under the oak on a hot day, dusty, miserable, hot desert day, Abraham, who had been separated and got out into the wilds, if you will, a perfect place for God the Father to expose Himself to our father, Abraham. And yet the Son said, "Before Abraham I was," and the Jews laughed Him to scorn. "Well, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham?" They didn't understand that that man, or at least one of the men, there were three of them, and I think I know who the other two were. They were angels, the mighty angels, Michael and Gabriel. These are the chief archangels. Satan used to be the other. That was the Holy Trinity. Satan, Michael, and Gabriel. Michael and Gabriel stayed loyal to the Godhead, and Satan, wanting to be above the Godhead, or to exalt himself above the Godhead, rebelled and led a rebellion in heaven, and one-third of the angels fell from their steadfastness and were lured into flesh bodies as they tried to cohabit with the daughters of men and bring men of renown upon this earth. Now, that's a whole other message in itself, and I'd love to get into that. But I want to express to you just exactly God's manifestation through angels when here is the angels that come across the plains here, and Abraham ran down into the herd and prepared them a meal, had Sarah to bake the whole cakes, unleavened bread, I believe, on the hearth, and that was the way that they baked. They had an oven, and stones were flattened, and the stones would heat up, just like we have a grill today. She flipped the pancakes up on the grill, and the servants killed the sacrifice. They literally had dinner, and it seems like that they did eat and drink, and these 73 elders are not exclusive, because other sons of Yahweh have entertained this being that's the Father, literally, and yet they didn't know Him. Abraham didn't really recognize until he got the covenant, as it's recorded in the 12th chapter, in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. And here in Genesis 19, Yahweh took Abraham himself after they had dinner. And Abraham washed their feet and entertained them through hospitality that he gave them. Don't you think that Yahweh is going to reward our Father who entertained the angel unaware, received a covenant pre-positioned, no conditions on this covenant other than you are my children and I will not let my children get lost here upon the earth. Abraham, you are my child. You were with me from the very beginning. This is the gospel that Christ preached. You are my sheep. My sheep know my voice. What does that mean? They ate and drank with the Messiah. Oh my. The ones he chose, and yet the world around him was literally against him, was scared to death of him, sought to kill him because he was against them and spoke against their ways. Love not the world and the ways of the world. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father, is not in him, so you don't love the world. Oh, we're supposed to love the world, Pastor Buddy. Well, I beg your pardon, ladies and gentlemen. You're not to love the world or the things of the world. And what we got going on today in this world has got people preoccupied with what's going on in the world instead of what needs to go on in their spirit. That this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, not to worry about who's being elected. And if we've got a Messiah sitting in a White House, you better get your mind off of that. And it would be good for you to quit eating. You say, well, I can't quit eating, Pastor Bunny. I've got work to do. Well, I went for 40 days and worked at least 29 to 30 days of those 40. So I know you can do it. I did it. Although sometimes I thought I was going to die, I didn't. And oh, how wonderful it is to draw nigh unto Him, to get into His presence, to literally feel the vibrations. Your body being weak, but the spirit gets stronger. When the spirit is well fed with the carnality, and you're strong in the carnal world, you're separated from the Father, and you can't see His shape or His voice. You can't hear it. But when you weaken the outward man, the inward man is drawn toward the Father. And as it is written, for the sons of Jacob, when the flesh man goes back to the dust, the spirit man in him from the Father, my sons and daughters will all come back to me and I will lose none. That's my message, ladies and gentlemen. To further support the proposition that in every case it is the angel of Yahweh. Remember, when Yahweh occurs in capital letters, it always denotes the personal name of God, which is Yahweh.
Now let me hurry on. Here we are. When Hagar in Genesis 16, and that angel of Yahweh found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, weeping. No future, thrown out, separated from her husband. Here's the child that wasn't wounded. Cast out the bondwoman and its child. But here's the angel that gave her a covenant and told her that she would bless. Oh my. And as we know, ladies and gentlemen, that in Hebrews 13 and 2, some have entertained angels unaware. Hebrews 13 and 2, some have entertained angels unaware. I've had my experience of one. I hope you have. And if you haven't, it don't take away from your faith. Don't let that bother you. But if you'd like to have one, you got to press toward the mark and the high calling, which is in your Heavenly Father. Oh my, it is so wonderful. It is so joyful, and it is full of glory. Let's go quickly now to Exodus, the chapter. We're going to Exodus chapter 23. Behold, I will send an angel before you. This is Yahweh's word. To keep you in the way. We're encamped about by a host of angels. And I know you don't have, if you've never had an angel experience, that don't mean they're not there. If you've never seen one, that don't mean that they are not there in the invisible fourth dimension. They're there. And if you would humble down and pray and fast to where your third eye could be opened up, you can see their very presence and you can actually get in the vibrational range where they vibrate. They're on a much higher vibrational level. I will send an angel to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now listen to this. This is the one I love. Beware of him and obey his voice. Angel's got a voice. Beware of him. Obey his voice. This is the future of the Son manifesting, God the Father manifesting in the Son, for God was in Christ reconciling the world. Not when it says the world. It's talking about the sons and daughters that are in the world. And I gave you the illustration of the Greek word world. It doesn't mean in that context the whole world. It means to a people that were in the world, and to this people, he only came for his people. The ones that had their names on the lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, ain't nobody going back to heaven except those who have been to heaven, pre-existed in heaven. You were with him before the foundation, and your name, he knew you. Your name, if it so be that you're one of his, where you were predestinated from the foundation of the world. My, I get so excited when I get into this. It's just marvelous what love the Father has got for us. And yet we're all afraid of it. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. See, the name was in the Son. And the Son declared his name, John 17, verse 6. St. John 17, verse 6. And verse 26, the name was introduced to the sons who had been deprived by satanic influence by saying that the name of the Father was too sacred to utter. And when they would come to the name, they would hold their hand over their mouth and say, Hashem. At least they speak the name of Yahweh upon their lips and defile their lips of clay. And yet the Father wanted to be known by his name.
by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. They had forgotten my name for a Baal name. And when you get into that four-letter word, it's carried over into the New Testament that they have created a false name for the enemy. Satan is working to try to even the elect to forget Yahweh. He don't want you to become acquainted with Him. He don't want you to know Him. Beware of Him. My name is in Him. The Son said in John 5:43, I am come, I am come. I am is the causative verb to be, Hayah, Eliezer Hayah. I am the great and the mighty one. Oh my. Ladies and gentlemen, this name is above every name on heaven, in the earth, or any other place that the names are mentioned. This is the name that is above every name, and in this name, it is the only name. That means it's alone and by itself. It's the only name that's got salvation. And yet it's right in front of everybody, and still people use Lord and God in exchange, and that's the people that are running or don't want to know His name and don't want any of it, don't want to take that name upon them by just using a substitute. That's a satanic message for you to forget your Father. And yet your Father hadn't forgot you. He's calling for you tonight through the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd's call is coming out to you tonight for you to remember the Father, to come and dine with Him. He thought it not robbery to be equal with Him. You don't have to be any less than equal. Equal has no greater or no lesser. That's equal. A perfect balance is the Father and His sons rejoicing in the presence of the Father. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, He said. And yet so many people are reluctant to take it because they don't feel like they deserve it, and they live in poverty, and they're worried about who's going to be elected president, and they even use terms like, well, we've got the Messiah in there now, He's going to fix everything. You're going to find out what's going to be fixed in this world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, and it ain't far down the road that it's going to come a time of trouble such as the world has never seen, and it just could be on this new Messiah, the so-called Messiah's watch. Be not carried away with these diverse sorts of deceptions by the satanic elements that is trying to make you forget your Father and use a substitute. Our Heavenly Father wants you to know who He is. He wants to eat and drink with you, just like He did. He said, I have desired. He longed. Don't you think the Heavenly Father, who has hid Himself from the world, and He can't be revealed except through the Son, and John 5:43, the Son said, I come in the Father's name. So the Father and the Son have the equal name, or the same name, or the Heavenly Father's name. And if you ain't in this heavenly family, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, you ain't it, you ain't going. You may think you are. You may be on a church book. You may be thinking that you're saved. You may be doing all kinds of work for the Lord. But in that day, the Lord is going to say to you when you address Him as Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in Your name? And then Yahweh is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh my, how marvelous. How wonderful. It's joy unspeakable, and I feel the joy bells in my heart tonight to be able just to grasp a small word or two out of the Spirit to identify to you who the Father is. That's my mission. If you can see through the Son, to whomsoever no man knows who the Father is except whosoever the Son reveals Him. The Son and the Father, the Eternal Spirit, was in that body of flesh called the Son, reconciling you unto Himself, that you might eat and drink with Him, just like the elders on the mountain, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they ate and drank with him. Oh, it's wonderful now that I have brothers. I've been so blessed with brothers and sisters who gather together in the festivals to eat and drink. And we do this in remembrance of him. We talk about him. We're always studying scriptures, always praying, always fasting, always trying to draw near unto him and to seek his divine will, to obey him and provoke him not, for the name of the Father is in the sons. You can't be a son if you're not in the Father's name. You've got to have the Father's name. And God is not his name. Lord is not his name. Jehovah is not his name. Jesus is not his name. His name is Yahweh. He has one name, and by one name are we all baptized into this wonderful body, whether you like it or not. And yet we've had some name changes. Satan, his agents, they have caused people to forget the name of Yahweh. And, I love the Lord, glory to God. Which one? You see, when you say his name is Yahweh, you don't have no problem because you identify the only one. If salvation is in the name of Yahweh, that's the only name that's got salvation. If salvation is in Jesus' name, as some of the deceived people say that it is, then there's none in Yahweh's name. Because you can't serve two masters. So you got to decide which one it is. The name Jesus is not even 500 years old. There was no J's in either language, Greek, Latin, or Hebrew, or English, for that matter. And so then, it couldn't have been Jesus. You're going to have to revamp, reload your understanding, come and eat and drink with him, and let some prophet or preacher or teacher or witness tell you about this wonderful, magnificent, magnanimous, great, and most holy, righteous name that is waiting for you to find out who he is so you can come and eat and drink with him. How often would I gather to you together as a hen doth the chicks, but you would not, simply because they fell victim to the Pharisee doctrine of the Jews, who were liars and slow bellies and full of evil, and hated Yahweh, and hated the people of Yahweh, and they hate you today in Matthew 5:22, 10:22. They hate you for his namesake. Hey, we got towers and temples all over the land dedicated to the Baal gods. Come out of the Baal churches. Don't even set your feet in them unless to go in to rebuke them. The only reason I don't go to the Baal church, because when I go, I'm going to come with a testimony in the name of Yahweh. I come to them in the name of Yahweh. My witness is in the name of Yahweh. My communication is Yahweh. And him only will I serve. I'm going to obey him. And I ain't going to provoke him. For his name is in me. I'm a child of the King. Yes, I'm different from the world. Well, Pastor Buddy, you'd be such an asset and a blessing if you just drop that old Yahweh stuff and come on over here and get in Jesus, glory to God. Man, we could really have a good time. Eat your heart out. I've been there and done that. But I got took to the throne. I got introduced to somebody called the Father. And the Father's got a name. And it ain't Jesus. It ain't Jehovah. It ain't Lord. It ain't Yeshua. His name is Yahweh. 7,000 times approximately where you see Lord and God throughout your English Bible, the name is Yahweh. You better get in it. But if you're not of him, you can't get in something that you ain't called into. That's why the Son has got to reveal to you what his name is. Well, my time is coming gone, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to get out of here on part two of the Father. I don't know how long I'll go on these parts, but I love the Godhead. I love to try in my most feeble way, being a man uneducated and trained in the King's language, it's almost undescriptive. No wonder we utter and shudder
when we come in the presence of the Father. No wonder that Moses wore the veil with the shining glory of the presence of Yahweh all over his face. Oh man, you run well. Something hindered a lot of you people. It's turned back on Yahweh. But let it be said, if you can rub out the scriptures, you can rub out the name of Yahweh. And yet if you do, the stones will cry out. His name has been written all over rocks. Even here in America in 27 different sites, the name of Yahweh has been written. The name of Jesus has not been found anywhere in antiquity. Nowhere. Nowhere. Not one scratch. But the name of Yahweh has been dug up in history. The stones will cry out. And just like my series on Bethel, the ancient mountain of God, Yahweh, His name embedded in the mountain. It's not Jesus written over there. To this name every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be on WWRB tomorrow night on 3.185 around the world, and they're offering simulcasting services now on WWRB. You can pick us up if you're listening to us tonight on WWCR download on your computer, internet. You can also download us by going to www.wwrb.com and click on Listen Live at the bottom of the page when it opens. And your favorite media carrier on your computer, be it Windows or Real Player, you can click on that and download us tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central. If you would like to call my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Do so. We need your help because we are in need of funds to help to continue on in these hard times. Remember us. Folks, when you go to pray, let the Father deal with your heart. If you're able to send us any offerings, do so. If not, we'll pray for you to be blessed. Brother Paul, up in Michigan, for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. Call Paul. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. If you'd like to write me tonight, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here. If you'd like to call me tonight, you can do so by calling Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. Vince Gill, ladies and gentlemen, talking about up on the mountain with the Father. Oh my, I love you. Tonight in Yahweh, many blessings. And let's eat and drink with our Father and worship Him. I'll see you tomorrow night, WWRB, live with Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Father.